Let me first of all join all those speakers who congratulated you on your recent re-election and also on the leadership role you have taken in WTO's Aid for Trade initiative, which indeed we from the EBRD strongly support. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues and excellencies, the bank was established in 1991 to promote the transition of the former centrally planned economies of Central and Eastern Europe towards market-based economies. One of the key challenges has been to the need to integrate those economies into international markets so that I can fully benefit from the skills and know-how and technological transfer that is associated with trade. I'm very pleased that during this period, the transition countries have overwhelmingly endorsed trade openness and many are now members of the WTO. We should not underestimate the significance of the institutional reforms and changes these countries have made. Even countries in the CIS yet to become WTO members have become very open to international trade by most standards. For example, average tariff rates in transition countries were only 4.5% in 2007, much lower than the average of 8.7% for middle-income countries, and the trade-to-GDP ratio exceeded 110% in 2008. Nevertheless, rapid WTO accession by Russia and several other countries in our region remains a crucial target that should not be allowed to slip. WTO membership conveys a stability and predictability to global economic relations for which there is no substitute, and it helps anchor domestic reform efforts. The formation of a customs union between Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan can be beneficial, but it must not become a distraction from WTO entry negotiations. Equally, I would appeal to all negotiators on all sides to show the necessary flexibility by keeping their eyes on the larger goal. As a project-based institution with a mandate to work with the private sector, EBRD provides support through trade finance, investments in cross-border trade infrastructure, and finance and technical support to enterprises to help them explore new foreign markets and improve product quality. The economic downturn has reminded us that market frameworks and institutions are vulnerable to changing global pressures. We expect our region's economies this year to suffer a major contraction in growth, with output falling back to something like 2006 levels. Similarly, we expect trade volumes in our region to decline sharply. Recovery is only likely to set in during 2010, and even then, we expect it to be halting. International capital flows will remain far more modest than in the recent past. Support for trade by public institutions has thus become even more important. Like other international financial institutions, the EBRD has responded with the Rapid Crisis Response Program. Our lending and investment volumes in 2009 are expected to increase beyond 7 billion euro, up from 5.1 billion euro in 2008. Others have already noted the importance of trade finance. I strongly welcome Director General Lamy's commitment to this issue and his efforts to systematically monitor and mobilize trade finance. Trade finance has become extremely scarce and, where it is available, more expensive. This is both because of global liquidity shortages and a general reassessment of counterparty risk concerning trade finance under the Basel II requirements. In turn, this may have further exacerbated the contraction of trade. Drawing on its close working relationships with local financial institutions, the EBRD has developed a trade financing program that promotes trade by overcoming trade credit counterparty risks between banks. Since its launch 10 years ago, the EBRD has supported over 8,000 transactions for a total of 5 billion euro through its trade facilitation program. In response to crisis needs in the region, earlier this year, we nearly doubled the annual limit of the TFP program from 800 million euro to 1.5 billion euro. However, we have witnessed a surprising decline in demand for trade finance during the first 5 months of 2009. We believe this partly reflects declining trade volumes, but also persistent reluctance by commercial banks in our region to take additional trade finance risks on their clients. This is of particular concern as there is a clear limit to the extent to which IFIs, including EBRD, can replace commercial bank trade finance, which totaled an estimated 600 billion US dollar in 2008 in the EBRD region alone. In this context, efforts to stabilize the financial sector are of the utmost importance, and in this I would like to join what we have heard from the head of the IMF. Here, in cooperation with other IFIs and governments, we have developed an initiative which supports bank balance sheets in our country's operation. Under this initiative, which we took together with the EIB and with the IFC of the World Bank Group, a target of some 3 billion euro in equity and debt finance in 2009 has already been approved by the EBRD or is in various stages of preparation. In the medium to long term, as growth resumes, the extent of challenges to address supply and infrastructure constraints to trade is likely to differ across our region. Landlocked countries in Central Asia will continue to require special attention in terms of overcoming their natural geographical disadvantages. In this context, we fully support the ongoing regional aid for trade needs assessment for Central Asian countries plus Azerbaijan and Afghanistan, and the implementation of regional transport and electricity infrastructure projects in cooperation with other IFIs and bilateral donors. The general investment climate is also important in the aid for trade discussion. In many EBRD countries, costs of trade are magnified by high levels of unofficial payments to customs officials. EBRD regularly monitors the investment climate through business surveys undertaken jointly with the World Bank, the results of which could also be integrated into the monitoring of aid for trade. Finally, EBRD believes the aid for trade initiative would benefit from more engagement with the private sector, both in the context of national or regional reviews and in monitoring its effectiveness going forward. In closing, Pascal, let me thank you once more for this opportunity, and let me assure you that the EBRD is committed to playing its part in the common effort to promote aid for trade. Thank you very much.